Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff. I'm Perloff. Maggie's playing a little hurt today.
Whatever could you be talking about?
Yeah, the voice, she says she wasn't out clubbing, but the Maggie Gray I know was probably partying till 4 in the morning, some rave or something. Do they have raves anymore? Did I just date myself?
It was a Dua Lipa concert at the Prudential Center in Newark.
I think my 10-year-old daughter's more likely to be at that Dua Lipa concert than you are.
It was a Harry Styles concert.
I mean, yeah. I will say this. I did talk to Maggie on the phone right before dinner. She sounded totally fine. So sometime between like 7 or 8 p.m. and like this morning, things have changed. I don't know. I'm not claiming anything. I'm just saying.
No, to you by Marlboro.
When I heard her on the pre-production call, I immediately looked at her Instagram feed to see if there was any parties. She was smartly did not put it on her story
on
what
burner.
She was really doing.
Yeah.
But I looked at her friends and then, no, but I couldn't find anything. No, I think we just have a mystery sore throat here, but we're going to get past it. We're working through it. You know who is working through some issues?
Who's that?
Segue. The San Francisco 49ers.
What's their issue?
Who's going to play quarterback there? Maggie, I got to give you credit. I think you were one of the early ones on this who noted that Jim Garoppolo was still on their roster.
James
Garoppolo of Subway commercial fame.
Yeah.
So it is May, early May. Jimmy G is
still... It's the 11th.
Is it the 11th? I was about to say that. Jimmy G is still a Niner. When is he not going to be a Niner? Okay. Is Jimmy G going to be a Niner? And if he's there, is he going to start? We'll get to a report by Chris Sims that's saying, do not discount that.
Okay, so I thought what you were going to give me credit for was the fact that I was making fun of you for being so on the Trey Lance bandwagon. And I didn't know why, because we don't have a whole lot to go on with Trey Lance. Even going back to his college days, then we saw a little of him this past season. It wasn't really impressive, but you love Trey Lance. So that's why I thought you were going to give me credit, because Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk thought his report was that the 49ers are scared of Lance and therefore maybe keeping Garoppolo around for that. We have it. Oh, Chris Sims can say it better than me.
Are they scared a little bit or not know what they're going to get? I think, of course, they are. You know, anybody you talk to that saw training camp last year, either that was part of the 49ers staff or when they went and worked with the Los Angeles Chargers there, and you hear people that witnessed those practice, there had to be concern coming out of San Francisco early on in the year last year. I know there was. There was too many people that were like, whoa, man, Trey Lance practices, ooh, the ball's everywhere. It's this or it's that way. It's everywhere. Ooh, man, he's not ready yet. So that's got to scare them to a degree. But at some point, like to your point, you got to rip off the Band-Aid and see what he's got.
So, you know, Chris Sims is not, he ripped Trey Lance all year last year. He wasn't even playing, and he was saying how Trey Lance has shown he's not ready, which I found is, Chris Sims, I love Chris Sims. I consider him a friend. He's a great dude. But once he turns against a quarterback, he's all in against him. Mm. So there, if you remember, Chris Sims had Mac Jones go into San Francisco early on in the process, I believe.
He said also Zach Wilson was his number one quarterback last year.
Right. But people were paying real attention to the Mac Jones, Trey Lance thing, because Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan were best friends in college. They have tattoos of each other on their legs.
Yeah.
Like, they're tight. So everyone's like, all right, the key.
They've got tattoos of each other?
Yeah.
Like, Chris Sims has Kyle Shanahan's face. And Kyle Shanahan's Chris Sims's face?
I got to check that.
Or they have matching tattoos.
They have matching tattoos.
Texas Longhorns.
But I got to make sure. I don't think they have each other's face. They definitely have they have a tattoo deal. Mike, can you check that out?
Wow.
So, I mean, this headline, I haven't gotten deep into the story because I just Googled it quick, but it does say they have matching tattoos of each other's initials.
Oh, it's the initials. Sorry.
Wow. And again, I haven't verified. That was just the headline, and then I got hit by an ad block. So I will keep doing the deep dive.
Wow. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was their face or their initials. But yeah, they're super
tight.
That's
serious. That's like Romeo and Juliet type stuff. I mean, not that they're obviously, you know, they're both, whatever. I'm not saying that. I didn't realize they were that close.
Yeah, so people last year during the draft process thought that Sims was speaking for Shanahan. But
how could he not? He's got his tattooed his initials right on him.
Well,
I mean, you and I wouldn't even get our tattoos initials onto each other. That'd be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few people out there with Perloff tattoos, which
oh,
I love.
Yes,
yeah.
There are.
No, there's another guy who had like,
that's your
like
face,
McLovin.
Though.
He had like McLovin written on him, but I think it was the other McLovin, but he tried to tell me it was me. Anyway.
The other McLovin.
So when Sims talks about the Niners, like you have to pay special attention because of the Shanahan relationship, but I think he just doesn't think Trey Lance is good. And I think he's double downing on his take because Trey Lance, okay, even if he's not ready, he obviously didn't play at all his junior year of college at North Dakota State. He's a very good runner. We saw that against Houston. Like, the dude can move. So even if he's not, you know, totally polished as a passer, that offense with Kyle Shanahan, like, they could do some damage with a mobile quarterback. When they're playing their best, they have a great run game and a great defense. So I feel like he could do some things with Trey Lance.
But don't you think that the 49ers going to the NFC Championship game last year changed a little bit?
No, like, because, like, Jimmy G did nothing.
No, but the expectations are high.
Yes, maybe. But I feel like, yes, that's very true. But at the end of the season, like, they said, thank you for your service to Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. And Jimmy said, I love being here. It's time to go. So, no, I'm not sure. I think it's really just they didn't get what they wanted for him. Now he's there. But I do think it could end up like there's a lot of pressure on Trey Lance. If he doesn't play well in the preseason, Jimmy G could keep that job.
Well, it's interesting because you look at the other second-year quarterbacks, right? I mean, we think that the Jets had a good draft. No one thinks they're going to be a playoff team, or that'd be crazy.
No, if they were in the NFC, maybe, but it's going to be tough in the
Trevor
AFC.
Trevor Lawrence. I mean, we're just looking for improvement there. I mean, Mac Jones made the playoffs but everyone says Belichick, you know, and they made it, you know, Josh McDaniels did a good job, but no one was really expecting the Patriots to be a Super Bowl contending team or not even this year. And then you've got Trey Lance.
Yeah, but then again, if you look at other second-year quarterbacks, nobody thought Joe Burrow was taking the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Fair.
And I don't think people didn't really expect the Patrick Mahomes explosion when that happened either. I know he didn't go straight to the Super Bowl. So
people can
jump out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I mean, we
true.
Don't always see it coming.
Let's go to Travis in Oregon, wants to weigh in on the Trey Lance controversy. What's up, Travis?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I would call it a faux controversy at this point. I think there's two really big factors that you have to take into consideration here. One is Jimmy G had a shoulder cleanup, and he can't really throw right now, or I guess he's ramping up. So once he's able to get out there and, you know, do some throwing, I think you're going to see them pull the trigger on whatever trade they think they can pull off. They also, Nate Sudfeld was their practice team quarterback, or scout team quarterback last year, and they gave him a guaranteed contract. And NFL teams just don't give three quarterbacks guaranteed contracts these days. So I think those are some factors that are kind of underlying that most people don't know that are really showing what they're going to do here. And I just don't see a scenario where Trey Lance isn't given a starting job, especially considering all the draft capital they gave up to get him and how much is
Travis,
on the line.
Travis, can I ask you this? Can I ask you this one? If you think if we gave truth serum to Kyle Shanahan and he could redo that and not trade all that draft capital to go up and get Trey Lance, do you think he would undo that trade?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, it depends on the inner workings between Lynch and Shanahan and other Niners brass. I have seen some kind of clickbaity type of rumors out there that are not substantiated at all, that maybe Shanahan was somewhat pressured into moving up and taking Lance. But I feel like with how much control he has over literally everything they do, that seems very unlikely to me, personally.
You're right, though. There was like a little bit of, and thank you for the calls, good call, that there was like a little bit of smoke about like, are they on the same page? Because they were so secretive about everything.
No, absolutely. It was still mysterious to the day.
Yep.
Why, you know, I understood they needed a new quarterback to get over the top. I mean, Jimmy G, the problem was the production was so low in the postseason. Like, it just didn't feel like a Super Bowl formula. I know he was hurt, so it's hard to tell. But they didn't score an offensive touchdown against the Packers. Their offense didn't do that much against the Rams. It's tough to imagine that they're excited about Garoppolo. But teams get conservative. You're right, though. You're on to something. Like, they might love Trey Lance in the future. They might have thought, we put all these draft picks into this. We put all this resources into this. But when it comes down to, like, actually having to play a quarterback, that veteran can be really tempting to a coach.
And what Travis is saying is Nate Sudfeld's contract was guaranteed for how much money? I mean, I don't know. The other thing is, do you actually want someone who's a little bit more veteran than Nate Sudfeld, you know, backing up your second-year quarterback?
Nate Sudfeld's been around now for a little bit.
Really?
Well, yeah. The Jets had nobody backing up Zach Wilson until they brought in Flacco. So I guess at the end of the day, some of these coaches don't. A guy like Shanahan probably thinks that we don't need a backup quarterback.
Right,
that's
I'll back him up. I'll be the mentor. Right?
But here's the question. Do you think that they haven't traded Jimmy G more because they can't find a trade partner to get enough for him, or because they are really having second guesses about Trey Lance?
What do you think is the driving force? I thought it was the former. I thought it was the shoulder. And, you know, there was the thought that, you know, he's not going to be around for the offseason program.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, are they better off just sort of hanging on to him and, you know, never rooting for an injury, but, you know, maybe an inevitable training camp injury?
Yeah, I know. There's no spot for him. And I think that I was going to mention to Travis, like, Carolina looks like they've already decided that they made their bed with Sam Darnold. By the way, guess how many years Nate Sudfeld's been in the league? Six.
Wow.
He's actually ancient veteran now, so maybe he'll play backup. I agree with you, though. That is a bit of a dicey situation for a mobile quarterback to have Nate Sudfeld behind him.
The other part, too, is I think it's important for contenders to have good backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it a lot, but if you are planning, especially the 49ers, since when do they get through a season without injuries? I mean, sometimes it gets really bad there. Think of it just a couple years ago, C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins and all these guys because Jimmy G kept getting hurt. I'm not saying Lance is going to get hurt. I'll knock on wood that he doesn't. But, like, if you're a real contender, don't you want a real backup?
Yeah, but then you have a really sticky situation. You have Trey Lance looking over his shoulder, which I don't think is a good situation either. I think both situations are not ideal, but I think you're right. I think that's what's going to end up happening. Jimmy G is going to be there. I think they give Trey Lance a start, but they pull him. Shanahan also, the other thing, Shanahan is the kind of guy who I think would pull his quarterback. I don't think he has a problem with that.
No. Are you still on the Lance bandwagon?
Yeah, I love Lance. I think Lance is really exciting. I think part of it is I'm just in love with his personality. If you watch any of the pre-draft features, you would be too. He's just like, he seems like the kind of like character that you want out of a quarterback, just like perfect. Like, it reminds me of a young Mahomes. Like, there's not anybody who meets Trey Lance who doesn't absolutely love him. Physically, you watch him play, like, I mean, it's like you cut a quarterback out of granite. He is big, tall, strong. His arm is insane.
Yeah.
And he's just so fast. Like, physically, like, you look at it and you just drool, be like, that's the quarterback I want.
They said that about Rob Johnson.
Here's another
question.
Nobody
said that about Rob Johnson. You just said he's super handsome. And Rob Johnson, in his fastest moment,
well,
could not be Trey Lance.
Quarterbacks didn't have to be fast back then.
Yeah.
Well, Rob Johnson, I think, had wheels. We just didn't really, we never got to see it fully. But, like, here's the other question. How much does Deebo Samuel's situation play into this, too? Because, like, if you
still
have Trey
resolved.
Lance coming in, right, you need to have Deebo there as his kind of security blanket. So maybe their hardline stance on Deebo is their thought, like, we can't get rid of Deebo if we're going to go with this second-year quarterback with no experience.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you can't remove your best offensive weapon.
Offensive weapon. I mean, listen, Brandon Ayuk is fine. I'm an ASU guy. I'm all about, but, like, Brandon Ayuk is not Deebo Samuel, and their running game is okay, but it always seems like every year, everybody in the 49ers backfield gets hurt every single year.
But just to be fair, 2 years ago, George Kittle was the best tight end in football. So it's not, and we were saying the same thing about George Kittle. Like, let's not write the Hall of Fame plaque for Deebo Samuel yet. It's because he had one big year. Think about the Super Bowl year. It was Raheem Mostert was just going to run down your throat.
Amazing.
And then they were going to bring some other guy who was going to run down your throat into the game. So I don't think Kyle Shanahan's really dependent. I think it's a system. I don't think they're so dependent on Deebo. They happen to be this case.
If it was the system, they would have traded him. I mean, if some of that stuff was out there, like the Jets' 10th overall pick, if it was really the system, he would have been traded before the draft, I think.
Do we know the value? Do we know as a stone-cold fact that the Jets offered the number 10
we
pick?
We don't, but obviously, for A.J. Brown, you know, you would have gotten something good.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I still think, like, Kyle Shanahan, I don't think we can exactly think like Kyle Shanahan. The other thing too, like, I don't think the players love being around Kyle Shanahan. I get the sense that he's a bit hard to play for.
Maybe he's just not tattooing their initials on his leg.
So I do have some more clarification. I read through it. So apparently they were, like, obviously very close to Texas. Kyle was the receiver and Sims was the quarterback. And there was a group of five of them, like other receivers and offensive players.
A wolf pack?
They were all tatted up except for Sims and Shanahan. And there was kind of a bet, like, Shanahan was like, fine, I'll get one if Sims gets one.
So
and
he got
Sims just got one of his initials, and so Shanahan felt, like, obligated to. But Sims also in this piece, this was with the San Jose Mercury News, basically said, we're not just good friends, we're best friends. We're best friends forever. Like, first of all, it feels like a little Saved by the Bell, BFF, friends forever. But also, like, these guys are, like, so close. So anything that Sims says about anything 49ers.
That's not 100% true, though. I've talked to Sims about this before. He actually, you know, he was a weekly on the Dan Patrick Show. Sure. He talked about this a lot. He's like, listen, Kyle doesn't tell me exactly what we're gonna do. He
feels free enough to say this. To say they could be scared and that he's not going to get a backlash phone call from his friend saying, what the hell are you doing?
And it feels a little McAfee, Aaron Rodgers situation kind of here. Like, maybe not everything that McAfee and A.J. Hawk say is exactly what Aaron Rodgers is saying.
No.
But, like, what they're saying is kind of echoing what they've gotten the feeling
it's
that Aaron Rodgers is saying.
Informed speculation. Yeah.
But Chris would tell you what you just said was not true, though. He would say, no, I don't. Kyle does not tell me everything.
Okay.
Because he said that Kyle keeps a smart professional distance on some subjects. I don't know if that was straight from Kyle, but obviously if he's best friends with Kyle, he probably knows nine guys on that staff too, from like whatever the Texas connection. So it's informed opinion. All right, coming up next.
Someone on Twitter said I sound like Marge Simpson's sisters.
Oh, I love it. I love those characters.
Patty
and Selma. I should get like, I don't even know, like I should get some kind of like a cigarette sponsorship off of this. I don't smoke, but I could obviously sell it.
I don't know if that's the kind of sponsorship we want.
Oh, all right. Whatever.
Cigarettes? No, it's
speak
not.
For yourself.
Not 1982 Sports Illustrated.
Right.
Speaking of sponsorships, we're going to talk a little NIL. Is NIL ruining college sports? We're going to find out from Sports Illustrated's Ross Dellinger, who's an expert on the subject. Coming up next, Maggie and Perloff.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. Coming up, a lot more NBA playoff reaction. I'm not feeling great about the 76ers, but I am not giving up, Maggie, even though you are making fun of me for it.
Well, I had to. And yes, this is really my voice today. For some reason, we're not sure, it's not COVID, but for some reason, my voice sounds like this today. I had to call you out because yesterday you were basically walking the 76ers to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're still playing Miami, number one seed. And you were so confident that when they were down by 15 heading into the fourth quarter, I just had to.
All right, let's change the subject. Okay. This is ridiculous.
You started.
If you want to, let's get something even more controversial.
Okay, let's do it.
NIL is in the news a lot. It seems like the NCAA might have to or try to come down on teams, but we're having a real hard time sorting this out. But I'll tell you one person who's been on top of it from the get-go, going back to the day it became legal, Sports Illustrated's Ross Dellinger. Nobody has been closer to the situation. So, Ross, there's a lot of noise these days about NIL and the NCAA. What should we really be paying attention to?
that's a loaded question. Maybe we should all just start focusing back on touchdowns and field goals and not pay attention to anything at all off the field. It might be easier. It's a kind of a complicated mess that we're dealing with right now with all of this NIL stuff. And it really goes back, I mean, it goes back years. It goes back 40 years. You could start in the 1980s. But for time's sake, you could go back a year. You know, the state laws around the country implemented their own NIL laws statewide on July 1. And building up to that, the NCAA had created an NIL policy of its own to regulate kind of NIL nationally, and they abandoned it after the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 in the Alston case. It's a 9-0 loss that the NCAA took. And that basically, that to sum it up, that court case said, hey, you can't limit or restrict athletes. And so they abandoned their NIL policy, and they created a very vague interim policy. And basically what's happening is because the interim policy is so vague that boosters are kind of skirting around it. And basically they are offering inducements to prospects, high school players, and players on other teams to come to their school, and they're using NIL kind of disguised deals to get them to come. And the NCAA is trying to get its arms around this thing and trying to re-implement elements in the policy that they abandoned last summer now. And the problem with that is the toothpaste, right, is a little bit out of the tube.
Right. Ross, apologies for my voice. Excuse me. But let's put this like a real case study that's happening right now with Jordan Addison, who a lot of people listening to me to the sound of my awful voice will know because he was the Biletnikoff winner from the University of Pittsburgh. He entered the transfer portal, but we don't know where he's going to go. He's like tweeting out photos from Austin, Texas yesterday. Maybe USC, could be anywhere. Why is his particular case so noteworthy?
Well, he's really, really good. And he seemed to be in a place at Pitt that, for all intents and purposes, before this past few couple weeks, that he was comfortable with and liked. I don't think anybody saw that he was wanting to leave. And then, boom, right, he hit the portal. And you can believe what you want out of how much he is worth or how much the NIL type deals, the true NIL type deals that are out there. But as I was just referring to, a lot of boosters of schools are using NIL to convince prospects to come to their school. And I'm sure, you know, I'm not breaking any ground by thinking that that's probably happening here, that there is kind of a bidding war that's going on. And it's not just for him, but a lot of other players are are kind of involved in this bidding war. It's happening with basketball players too. You get in the portal and, you know, 5, 6, 10 schools come to you with quote NIL offers to come to their school. And, I think that's happening here. He's just the latest, I think, and one of the biggest stars to be in this position. But Caleb Williams, quarterback at USC now, had transferred from Oklahoma, was a big one. I made a splash in January by getting in the portal, and then obviously he's gotten a lot of fancy NIL deals out at USC. Now, his situation was different because he went to leave to follow, it would seem, Lincoln Riley, his coach. But we're seeing this a lot. We're seeing players kind of dip their toe in the portal and set off, trigger a NIL-like bidding war for them.
We're talking to Ross Salinger, Sports Illustrated. Ross, let me play devil's advocate a little bit. Like, question, these boosters mostly are local businessmen, I assume. Like, aren't they sort of doing marketing deals? Aren't these what NIL was supposed to be sometimes, where these boosters are putting together these collectives and they're saying to the players, hey, you do some appearances, do some social media things. Could you argue that it really is sort of being what it's supposed to be, which is marketing?
Well, in some cases, I think it absolutely is. And I should probably clarify, you know, it's only a certain probably group of schools with big enough boosters to offer what some would say is outrageous and not at all fair market value for marketing deals and such. So there's a small group of them that are doing that largely across college sports. It is probably, for the most part, being used as we all thought, where it is a marketing tool and it is being used as such. And there's fair market deals being struck and things like, you know, players with a lot of social media following, tweeting out stuff and getting paid, you know, a couple $100 or something for each tweet, and maybe making, you know, in a year, maybe making like $20,000, maybe making like $30,000. The things that are probably not what NIL was intended for are multi-million-dollar contracts for high school players, or $400,000 a year deals for a basketball transfer. You know, those things, I mean, the return on investment on those, right, is probably not great. But that's what makes college sports unique and why it is kind of hard for there to be NIL and not be all of this happening, because we have recruiting in college sports. And when you get into recruiting, you get into bidding wars and such. And the stuff that's been going on under the table, kind of illegally and behind in the shadows for years, is now over the table and happening a lot more.
Ross, what bothers the coaches more? Is it the transfer portal or NIL? Maggie's been telling the college coaches to stop complaining all offseason.
It's insufferable.
Why are they, what's driving them? I'd imagine the transfer portal is really hard for like an old school coach who wants to really sort of control the players, for lack of a better term. But is it the combination, or is there one particular thing that is getting under their skin?
Well, I think it's all of these things combined. It kind of creates what one of them kind of referred to as like a perfect storm of the one-time transfer exception, which allows a player to transfer once in their career and play immediately, which last year was implemented. And then you combine that with NIL, right, and you have, like I just mentioned, you have players who – you know, are on teams and are either not playing as much as they'd like or playing a lot in our big stars, like who we were just talking about from Pitt, the receiver from Pitt, and they have a market for themselves to go to a bigger university for more money. And I think those two things have combined to kind of create maybe what coaches are describing as a, sort of like a free agency. Although, you know, in a free agency in pro sports, you have windows, you have regulation, and you have player contracts that bind them to teams. In college, there's none of that right now, at least right now. So it's kind of an unregulated free agency. And a lot of people say, hey, coach, you know, you make X amount of millions of dollars. Stop complaining. And coach will say, well, this is unregulated free agency. Let's at least try to regulate it.
Ross, last one for me. You mentioned about wishing we could talk about the touchdowns and the field goals more than NIL. So I'll go there. Who do you think has had the best offseason so far?
It's funny. I was on a podcast yesterday, and the person said, well, be sure to bring you back to talk about actual football, because, of course, we spent the whole time talking about NIL and NCAA transformation. And they said, I'll bring you back in July, and we'll talk real football. And I said, well, that'll give me some time to read up on what's going on football teams, because my whole offseason, it feels like, has been spent on NCAA transformation and NIL and transfer portal and college football playoff expansion. So I don't have the best answer for your question. And I know I mentioned at the top we should start talking about on-the-field stuff more, but I'm so inundated. I've been so inundated with all this stuff. What's going to be really interesting, I think, on the field is, and it all goes back to this transfer situation, is the quarterback position. For the first time ever, we're going to enter a season, and there's going to be a lot of fans out there of college football when they turn on the TV and see that Keaton Slovis is the Pitt quarterback and go, wait, he was at USC, or see that the former Auburn quarterback, Bo Nix, is at Oregon. Wait, when did that happen? So you're going to see a lot of that. I told people I need a cheat sheet for where all the quarterbacks were and where they are now. It's going to be really interesting.
But funny thing, Ross, even that question from Maggie, like, who had the best offseason? That's an NFL question. College football teams don't have an offseason. But now that it's a professional sport, they have an offseason. Like, yeah, basically, like, who's had the best free agency period? Is that how we look
at
college teams now?
That probably is the better question. Who had the best free agency offseason? And most would say Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss had a big transfer kind of portal signing class.
Yeah.
24/7 Sports has ranked their transfer signing classes. I think Ole Miss was right up there with LSU as well, and USC. Those teams did really well in the portal. Miami, I think, as well. So there are going to be a lot of new faces on a lot of those teams, not just the signing classes from high school, but those from other college teams.
All right. Well, now you're getting excited. A little Lane Kiffin transfer board. All right, Ross, we'll have you back on July, and when we'll dive into some actual football. But appreciate it, and keep us up to date on all what has been a crazy sea change in college sports.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like, you can look at, like, the depth charts are just so different now. Lane Kiffin, you used to be, you lost a quarterback, he went to the NFL, you had to sort of find one. Now you just bring in a veteran and you're good.
And it's just like the quarterback names have become so quarterbacky. You know, he just said Keaton Slovis, you know, Bo Nix. These are Spencer Rattler. They're just such good QB names.
Yeah, that happens to be three of the bigger bust, in my opinion, recent NFL football. Recent college football.
Hendon Hooker. I mean, Grayson McCall. These are good, good names.
Yeah.
Well, even CJ Stroud. I mean, I'm Bryce Young. I know those guys.
But my favorite is Bryce Young. Like, how can
such
you
a good football name?
Yeah. Well, let's not forget DJ Elungalali, who has got a great name, but it's very hard to say. Yeah, you know what? You're right. This NIL stuff's a little dry, but I think we're going to see a lot of it in the fall. We're going to see actual impact, and it's basically an NFL junior year now. I don't think the NCAA is going to be able to stop it. I think NIL is going to continue. I think the transfers are going to continue. And you know what? The product's still going to be great, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I think the college coaches are kind of whining, and I think that giving and clawing for the players to have a little bit more control over their college years, I think is great. To me, it's like off-season moves. You know, the NIL is a little bit further down my list on interesting things for college football, even though Ross does a fantastic job in his reporting, and it's very important. But, like, between Arch Manning and, like, this year's transfer portal, I'm in. Coaching changes, Lincoln Riley at USC, Brian Kelly at LSU.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, we're going to get back into the NBA, the Lakers mess, 76ers no-show. And once again, what does a Tua underthrow really mean?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. I guess turns out I have a new co-host today. Yeah. Is that Maggie Gray is not here, and is Scott Farrell in the house?
I got a tweet that said, Maggie sounds like Scott Farrell because my voice is gone today. And I thought, that might not be that far off.
Let's hear a little.
I got a little situation here. I heard a little gurgling in the galley. And my stomach was talking to me, Mavi. I heard a little conversation my stomach was having with my face. I could hear actual gurgling in my belly. It's not a good sign.
That sounds exactly like me today.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe I'll become a legend like Farrell. There we
gurgling
go.
In my belly. It's not a good sign.
You know, I thought, like, even with your voice being out today, like, you're still not as Pharrell
I'll
is.
Never be.
No, like, he is really just like,
I can't pull that off.
And I always wondered, like, you know him, right?
I've met him before, yeah.
Does he have a different voice off air?
Oh,
I've never talked.
Not to me.
Okay,
I
so
met
he
him
sounds
here
like,
at CBS Sports.
Yeah, yeah.
When
I just wanted to make sure, like, that's not a radio voice. Does he really sound like that?
No, I don't think he's, like, putting it on.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bit.
Like, have you seen that Mike Breen commercial where they cut to Mike Breen? He's got a really high voice that they modulate on air. All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're going to play a little game. I think this is dedicated to your voice.
Yeah.
Will it matter that you sound like this? Let's hit a little music for Will It Matter. Why don't you take us through, Scott?
Okay. So, asking a question, will it matter? Number one, Jeannie Buss gives an interview to the LA Times and Bill Plaschke. In it, she says no one in the front office is going anywhere, that she's going to be super collaborative about finding the next head coach, including leaning on Phil Jackson and also Magic Johnson. And also Clutch Sports, which is LeBron James's agency, basically, it does not have final say on anything that has to do with the Lakers, but she loves to get the input from LeBron and thinks that's good business. So, will it matter that Jeannie Buss said all this stuff before the Lakers go into the offseason prologue?
See, to me, it will not matter because of the situation. You have an older LeBron who I think will re-sign his contract or sign a new contract in August. You have an older Russell Westbrook who they're pinned with that big contract. And you have Anthony Davis who's always going to get hurt. The reason to me it doesn't make a big difference is because I just don't see like this. I don't see a visionary coach coming in, because to get like that transformative coach, you need to be willing to rebuild your team. And I think they're sort of stuck on the path that they're on. So I don't think it matters that whatever Jeannie Buss does, I'm sorry, like, unfortunately, like, bed's been made. There's nothing she can do regardless of her attitude. What do you think?
So I wonder if the Russell Westbrook contract becomes more tradable at the deadline, or when it becomes like an expiring. It is an expiring. It would be. Maybe there's something there where you could pull off. But if I'm a Laker fan, I'm really dispirited and disheartened reading this interview. Obviously, Jeannie's loyalty to the, you know, to certain people around her is really deep. But I'd ask, like, are you listening to the right people? Phil Jackson was an all-time great coach. He didn't hire great coaches, though, when he was running the Knicks. And Magic Johnson is an all-time great player and a Lakers legend. He just straight up left the Lakers in 2019. I mean, I love these people are great. They're going to have forgotten more basketball than I'll ever know. But I would ask, like, are they making the best business decisions for Jeannie Buss? If I'm a fan of the Lakers, I'm not sold on that. And would I rather have fresh eyes than Rob Pelinka's eyes on this roster? Probably. You got 8 roster spots to fill. That's the whole damn team. Except for the 3 most expensive pieces, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. I'd rather have fresh eyes here. I think this absolutely will matter. Okay, moving on to the next. Will it matter? The 76ers were a total no-show in Game 5. Will that matter to the outcome of the series?
Yeah, it will matter. I mean, they could win Game 6 at home. The fact that Joel Embiid, his trajectory went straight down. You know, he's getting healthy. He should play better. He should be more engaged. I know he got hit towards the end of the second quarter, but like he said his body was hurting last night. Shouldn't it get better than Game 4? I don't understand how, with more time, he can go downhill.
Okay, I think that it will matter. I never thought the Heat were fully out of this anyway. Yeah. And Joel Embiid got clocked in the face last night when he has a broken face. That definitely made a difference.
He got clocked by a ball, just to be clear. Like, it wasn't like somebody hit him in the face.
Well, it was like kind of like an elbow. It seemed like it was pretty inadvertent, though. I mean, he got hit right in the face,
The basketball hit him.
Right, the basketball hit him.
Right.
But it was like a physical play underneath the basket. And he's writhing in pain on the ground. I mean, you're not telling me that they didn't have a second half comeback in them if Joel Embiid didn't get hit in the face?
No. I don't know. Last night, no
way. I mean,
way.
They look pretty lifeless. But maybe it's catching up with Embiid because the schedule also is catching up. You're playing every other day now.
Yeah, but the Heat have to play every other day too. Like, we had a caller come in and say, "Well, all of a sudden Bam Adebayo is a defensive force. Bam Adebayo shouldn't be able to cover. I don't care if like Joel Embiid has one good eye and one good arm. Like, he should be able to dominate him. I just want to see effort." So that was disappointing.
Well, and
to
also
me last
Bam Adebayo had been like actively avoiding Joel Embiid as much as he possibly could through the first couple games.
Like Spoelstra did a good move. He was sort of sitting Adebayo a little bit to make sure he was out of foul trouble.
Yeah,
was really smart. Any minutes you can buy for him. And I guess I did kind of secretly know that the Heat could not shoot that badly from 3. What were they, like 14 for 70 in the 2 games in Philadelphia? So I'm hoping, as a Sixers fan, they go back to that in Game 6.
Although Game 7 in Miami, I'm not putting much past it.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers, a healthy Sixers team couldn't beat Atlanta at home in Game 7 of last year. They're not really a proven postseason team yet.
Tua underthrowing Tyreek Hill in a Twitter video that was put out by the team as like a hype video is now getting clowned all over the internet because the throw looks so bad. Perloff, will it matter?
Of course it will not matter. I mean, yes, Tua might not be able to get the ball out to Tyreek Hill, but not because of this video. We weren't at the practice. Practices have all sorts of things going on. You have no idea what the play was, like where Tyreek Hill was supposed to. Maybe Tyreek Hill didn't hear the whistle and ran out 3 seconds before he was supposed to. We have no idea. To judge a random practice video is a huge mistake in NFL.
Okay. The reason why I think this might matter is because it looked exactly like all of Tua's other throws. Loading up, balls just waiting there in the air. I mean, it's the definition of a duck. And I don't know if Tua's going to be the answer. And I don't think videos like that help.
No, and so we'll see. Video can't possibly mean anything.
You know what happens? With the whole, your own team put it out and didn't realize that was going to create any kind of backlash. And, like, you don't think that these kinds of things seep into the building. I'm not saying that they're going to all of a sudden cut to or trade him. But, like, the negativity starts to build. And it's not like the Miami Dolphins have, like, they have an amazing history, like, in the 70s and 80s. It's not like they have this incredible history recently where you feel like, wow, this is such a well-oiled machine of a franchise that none of this stuff is going to leak into the building. It definitely will.
I don't know. I would be careful to not overestimate Twitter nerds, like, just because Jeff Schwartz is like saying, oh, I don't know if this throw is good. I don't think the building really cares.
Not just Jeff.
He was very good NFL player. I'm just saying, like, just because I think Twitter was having fun with it, because anybody would just need to get NFL in there. So I think if this was week 7 of the NFL season, there's no way anyone's going to be paying attention to this. It's just we're so desperate to talk NFL.
No, they wanted us to be talking about it. Okay. Last one. The San Antonio Spurs are going to be playing, was it Samter, 6 games? 6 games in Austin, Texas. And the owner of the Spurs had to send out a letter saying, like, I promise I'm not moving the team to Austin. But do you think it will matter the reception they get in those 6 games in Austin, Texas?
You know, Austin is obviously a fast-growing city, but San Antonio's growing too. San Antonio's massive. So I don't think like this is a franchise that has to worry about losing a team. In fact, I've, you know, San Antonio has made overtures about getting a football team. This is not a panic situation. This is not like, you know, I don't feel like they're the next Seattle Supersonics or St. Louis Rams. There's such a loyal fan base. This is not a panic situation at all to me.
Can I fit in one last one? Sam Howell. New draft pick for the Washington Commanders. Apparently has never had beef or seafood. He eats meat, but it's only chicken.
Mm.
He orders chicken tenders at steakhouses, and apparently he brings his own chicken tenders to team meals. Will this matter? Does this matter? This is just straight up weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, aren't all athletes like plant-based diets now? So he's
right.
A chicken-based diet.
He should be a vegan.
Chicken is probably, it's high in protein, low in fat. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's odd though, because it's not like obviously a moral stance because he's eating the chicken. So it's not like he's vegan because of animal rights or anything. It's just like he's picking like, let's be honest, like the most basic of all the proteins. No?
And I mean, and he's going to be playing in D.C. like that. General area, the Maryland, Delaware, D.C. area is known for their crabs and their seafood. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Do you think
I wonder where you're going with that. Like, oh, he's in D.C.
I mean, sure
everyone knows the chicken stinks in D.C. Like, you got to order beef there.
Yeah, I was like, steakhouses?
And like, yeah, crabs. Like, I'm like, oh, for that brief crab season, like, he's like going to. But I hear what you're saying.
So betonline.ag has now odds on whether or not Sam Howell will try a hamburger
that's funny.
In 2022.
Would that be considered rookie hazing if they forced him to eat a steak?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, like.
Yeah, that is definitely.
Yeah, probably. It seems like he's not young. How young is he? In his 20s? He has obviously had the opportunity to have a burger and a steak, and he's saying, no, thank you.
Do you remember when I asked Derrick Henry at the Super Bowl about his vegan diet, and he looked at me like I was crazy?
It was such a bust of a question.
I swear to God, I watched this documentary on veganism. Or at least plant-based diets, and they were talking about Derrick Henry.
No,
but he did say he tried it for like an afternoon or something.
Yeah, he's like, I tried it one time. It was like a friend's girlfriend made them some cauliflower. Then he was like, is that what you're talking about? It was an epic fail.
Coming up next,
much
we'll
like
talk
my voice.
To Sports Illustrated's Howard Beck, NBA playoffs. I'm Maggie and Perloff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.